Escape to the exotic beauty of Morocco with our exclusive small group tours. Experience intimate group sizes that ensure personalized attention and unforgettable adventures. From the enchanting streets of Marrakech to the serene beauty of the Sahara Desert. Forge friendships that last a lifetime while immersing yourself in Morocco's rich culture, vibrant traditions, and warm hospitality. Book your small group tour with Destination Morocco today. Experience the intimacy of a private tour at an affordable price. Go to our website, destinationsmorocco.com, that's destinations with an S, morocco.com, and reserve your spot today. Welcome to the Destination Morocco podcast, the show that takes you away to the beautiful country of Morocco. I am your host, Azzedine El Moustakim. In each episode, we explore Moroccan culture, history, attractions, and activities. Real and practical information coming from experienced travelers and native Moroccans like myself. And now, let's go exploring.
How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, nice to see everybody here. We'll keep an eye on our chat here if people have questions about languages, things they'd like translated, things they'd like to understand. That's our theme today. I've been really enjoying the cultural series that you guys have been doing the last month or so, learning a bit more about the history of the Berber people, the Amazigh, and some of that background. It's been fun. So this really taps into that, the language, and we really want to look at it from a practical side. So if you're traveling in Morocco, day-to-day stuff, and there's tons that we can go through. We've tried to pick out kind of just some key phrases here in the time that we have. But you're in the bazaar and you're in the souks and stuff, and you want to try to barter and order some stuff. You're at a restaurant. You're with your guides and your drivers at the Riyadh. Just basic things. How do you introduce yourself? How do you say hello? Things like that. So that's what we're going to chat about today.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
We were talking a bit before here about part of this is giving a bit of context, because Morocco is part of the fascinating thing about Morocco is that we're not talking about just one language. There's many, many. Now, you guys will tell me and our audience about this, but just how many languages and how many dialects there are. So to try to make this as practical and useful as possible, you can see everyone watching that we've shared our screen and we have this kind of spreadsheet here with some phrases. But you'll see the key is there's Darija, there's French, and there's Berber, because you're going to be exposed to all three of those as you travel around Morocco. So first we're going to learn about kind of where you would hear which language and in what context to try to be prepared. So let's talk a bit about Darija, and even what is Darija, because probably not a lot of people really know what that is. So Azdin, can you give us a bit of context about that?
Darija is basically, it's really a combination of different languages that are spoken in Morocco. It contains some French, some Spanish, Arabic, German, and some Berber as well. It's basically spoken throughout Morocco. There's a different bits and pieces that are different from one region to the next. You know, if you're talking the north side versus Marrakech region, the Houz region, the middle, then if we're talking the southern part of Morocco, then we have the Berber or the Amazigh language, which is spoken in the Rif Mountains in the north side of Morocco, then the Atlas Mountains, then the Sousse region, Agadir. Then we have the southern part of Morocco as well. So there's, I would say, probably the four maybe different dialects when it comes to Berber language. Then we have the French language, which is really spoken, I would say, in the major cities, the big cities. Then when you go to the north side, there's Spanish is strong. So there are quite a bit of languages that are spoken in Morocco. So in one household, people will probably speak a minimum of two languages, depending what that family is from.
Morocco is known as a multilingual country. So it has two official languages, which is the modern Arabic and the Berber language. Also, French is extremely useful especially because of the historical colonial of the Moroccan country. And in order like to interact with locals, it's quite necessary to be aware at least of these three languages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Morocco is diverse in terms of languages. So what I want to add to what Astin just said, in Morocco, we have like, I can say 99% of the Moroccans are Berbers, by the way, just to clarify this idea. And then the Arabic is very famous nowadays because most of the generations, especially the modern generations of Moroccans, are converted into Arabs because of the new system, educational system in Morocco. So most of the kids right now, especially you found their parents still speak Berber, but the kids, they speak Arabic. French is very common. Most of the people, they think that French is an official language in Morocco. It's not right. The official language is Arabic, as Heba mentioned, and Tamazight Berber, because we talk about the three dialects of Berber in Morocco, but the official language of Berber, it's called Tamazight. Tamazight, or the Amazigh language, which is the official language in Morocco since 2012, which is becomes after the change of the constitution, it becomes new second official language of the Kingdom of Morocco.
Right. You can correct my spelling. I'm going to write things down, but correct my spelling if it's
wrong. Amazigh, that's right.
That's
right. Yes. Oh. Well, it goes back to the episodes, right? The last month, you know, learning about this stuff. And keeping it straight, because we've been doing this show for 2 years, and I've heard the terms, and maybe I wasn't paying attention enough, but now I know, like, Darija is kind of the Moroccan name for Moroccan Arabic, right?
Yes.
And now we know Berber, Amazigh, same thing. We like to say Amazigh, of course, and Tamazight is the Amazigh language. Here's a question, then. How similar, if any, is there between Tamazight, Berber language, and Darija? Are they similar at all? Do they mutually understand each other? Are they similar words?
Yeah. Tamazight is not like Arabic. In the modern cities, like big cities like Marrakesh, for example, and Fas, if you found people speaking Berber or speaking Tamazight, they mix it with Arabic. You can understand it a little bit. But if you go to the mountains, to the southern part of Morocco, to the Rif Mountains, for example, to the Sousse region, Agadir and the Rhône, you will find that Tamazight is totally different than Darija. All the words, there is no comparison between them. And in the big cities, as I say, there is a common because intercultural with the French and Spanish words. So the people start speaking a mix of Berber, Arabic, and French.
Is it the kind of thing that people are just so used to being exposed to different languages? Probably more in the cities, I guess, but that people routinely talk to each other and use kind of two or three languages in the same sentence or the same conversation. Does that happen?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Especially when you speak with someone, for example, I can speak with Heba, for example, in Berber or in Tamazight, we mix like French, Darija, Arabic Darija, and Berber. So the three languages are mixed in one sentence.
Together, yeah.
Yeah, together. Yeah.
And you probably throw in a bit of English, too.
Yeah, of course.
I know that not all words are translated, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to talk last time, and I asked her, print me this, and I just translated from, I said it in Berber, in English, in a Berber way. I said, print it yet.
Print it yet? Okay. Yes, I still remember.
That's so funny.
I find this fascinating because, like, you know, I'm always interested in how people interact on a day-to-day basis as locals, you know, in different languages, right? Do you find, like, if it's somebody you know, I suppose, you know, friends and coworkers, you would probably learn over time how to communicate with each other. If it's a stranger or someone you're meeting for the first time, does it take a bit of time to figure out, okay, what language are we going to speak? How much does the other person know of certain languages? Is it different with every person, or does everybody kind of just mix it all together?
It just depends. And I'll give you an example. And also, it's from generation to generation. Like our generation, for the first time, we always speak in Darija. But then we look at each other, we hear the sentences or the accent, and then we'll say, are you Berber? Are you Amazigh? Oh yeah, then we flip it to
Then you get
Amazigh,
engaged.
then yes.
Yes. Yes.
So you know that's yeah. So and for me, this is how I've noticed it, and when I visit, that's normally the case. But I also would like to hear Sam's experience in Hiba as well.
Yeah. Same for me. When I speak Arabic, all the people, I just start speaking with them. Because my Arabic is not correct. It's mixed with the Berber accent. So yeah. Most people, they said, are you Berber? So how do you know? Oh, from your accent. So you are not Arabic 100%.
Yes.
Maybe Hiba, when she speaks, you can distinguish. You can't, for example, tell her that she is Berber. But me, first time you know that I am Berber, and we know each other from our faces, our blood. For example, we know I meet someone, I know that he is Berber or he is not.
The bone structure for the
face.
So Hiba, what's your take? Because I have a story. I want to tell a story.
Well, of course, when, for example, you interact with someone at first glance, for example, if you talk with him like in Darija, for me, I feel most comfortable talking or speaking in Darija because my Berber, it's a bit not clear. However, when you find like that kind of intimacy with that person, so this is for me the right fit, for example. It depends on the intimacy or the engagement with that person in front of you.
Okay, yeah. I see. Yeah. You know, we are from Marrakesh, and comparing us or looking around like in Morocco, when we talk to anybody from different cities, they know we are from Marrakesh because of our accent. It's just like compared to a Texan accent or a Southern accent here in the US. We speak a little bit slow, and we tend to extend the letters a little bit longer, you know. Mm. So my last visit, which is a few weeks ago when I visited Morocco, for the first time I went to for dinner, me and Sam, and the owner of the restaurant was showing us around, and we were talking, and they have kind of, you know, you can order them out of the menu, but they also have a buffet style, which is really, really nice. And she started talking to me and talking to Sam, and she said, ask me if I was a Berber. She said that I have a Berber accent, which I have never in my life somebody told me that I have a Berber accent. I mean, when you hear Sam speak the Darija, you know he has a Berber accent for the locals. Maybe foreigners, maybe kind of difficult for them to identify or recognize. But I was very surprised when she said that. Pleasantly surprised, because I did not think that I had a Berber accent, especially I don't speak Berber fluently all the way, even though I would love to one day. But that was my story for the last time I visited. Yeah, the accent gives us away.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Is there an emotional connection with the Berber language then for most people? Like, well, is Darija more common that people would speak? But as you're talking, like you know a lot of words and stuff in Berber, but maybe not completely fluent. But is it a source of identity then for people, the Berber language?
Yes. I'll start first. And let me tell you something, Ted. The Berber language opens doors for you in Morocco. Hmm. Yeah. Let's say me and Sam went, especially, I'm going to say it, especially when you go to Agadir or the Sousse region. Let's say I'm looking for a place to stay. I go in, I say, hey, I'm looking for a hotel. It's the last minute. Oh, no, we don't have anything. Then Sam comes in and he speaks to them in Berber. He'll get the president's suite.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a connection between us Berbers. It doesn't matter where we're from, the north, the south, the middle.
Yeah.
Once you know somebody is Berber, there's a certain trust that comes with it. And this is our perception. This is how we were raised and built, for me at least, because what I have just said, this example, it actually happened to me and a friend in Agadir. This is back in 2005. It doesn't happen in all the cities. It doesn't happen all the time. But when you're a Berber and you're dealing with other Berbers or Amazigh, they really tend to go above and beyond to help and assist. And you can see this. The same trend goes into the tourism industry, that people are willing to do for you what a lot of others are not. And that's the reason, one of the reasons a lot of people, they love experiencing the Berber culture. They love spending time with the Berber family, whether it's lunch or dinner or overnight stay. So it's incredible. This has been my personal experience.
Yeah, you can feel that relation between you. And if you said, for example, for someone that you are a Berber, you can notice a big smile on his face. And of course, he will assist you with whatever he can do for you. Of course, that serves a lot.
Especially, I want to add, especially in business, when we want to deal with someone throughout Morocco, it's not only in Marrakesh or other parts, but the whole Morocco, when you want to do business with someone, and he asked you, for example, are you a Berber? And you said, yes. Then you get like 90% to do business with that person, even if he is not Berber, he is Arabic, for example, or is Arab, or is French or something. They understand because they know that Berbers are trustworthy and they are good people. So word is word. And when he says something and he can do it, if he can't, he said, no, I can't do it. So the people, especially in terms of business, they prefer to do business with Berbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is important in terms of context. So maybe let's look at where we would use each language and then we can get into some of these phrases here. So for instance, if we're going to learn some phrases in Darija as a traveler, kind of mainstream destinations perhaps, but are we able to use those phrases no matter where you go in the country?
In most times, or, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then how about Berber? Like, where would you most be actually using that on a daily basis?
Especially in rural areas, for example.
Yeah, southern part.
Mountains, rural areas, yes, yeah. Northern part, southern part, yeah. The Middle Atlas Mountains as well, yeah.
So less so in Casablanca areas, I guess, Rabat?
French.
Yes.
In Casablanca, there is many Berbers. I can say like 60% of the population in Casablanca are Berbers, especially from western part of Morocco, like Sousse, Agadir, Taroudant, and Rhône. They are all most of them Berbers. Yeah.
Well, in that case, I mean, because I would think, if people are learning languages, and especially if they enjoy doing that and it's fun, that's great. But there's a lot to learn. And if you want to choose which phrase or which language I should bring out in a certain situation, right? Do you recommend learning Darija first because it's more common, or because I'm really hearing what you're saying about making the connection with people, can you focus more on Berber, knowing that there's a pretty good chance people would understand it?
I would say Darija first,
yeah.
Because it's definitely the number one most common language, even though there's a little bit of variation from the north to the south part, but right. Definitely say Darija first. Then Berber is definitely helpful, and also the French. The French language is phasing out, but you can barely see that change now, but the change will be more visible maybe a decade from now. Mm-hmm. It's still a very important language to communicate in Morocco. And when you're in the north side, Spanish is definitely very helpful as well. Yeah.
I agree 100%, yes.
Yeah, we found that when we were in Morocco last year, and our driver spoke a bit English, but he was much more comfortable in French.
Yeah.
And of course, Berber and Darija, I guess, too. But for us, at least we knew some French coming from Canada, so we could communicate with him. So, and I mean, most travelers, whether from North America, Europe, etc., you'll probably have a little more familiarity with French, at least, than you would with Darija, at least in terms of vocabulary, numbers and things like that. So you might be able to make some of those connections that way. It was nice being able to talk to him instead of just kind of,
yes.
Nodding and no.
We can yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, how mutually intelligible is Darija or Moroccan Arabic and the mainstream Arabic in Egypt and places
okay.
like that?
Is it, that's a really... really good question. We feel like we are spies in Morocco because we can understand all of them, but they cannot understand us.
Okay.
Yes.
We are special.
Yes, I agree. We can understand Egyptian dialect, for example, or Egyptian Arabic, but they couldn't understand our dialects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Egypt, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Emirates, Iraq. We do understand all of that, their language. There's a little bit of difference, obviously, from country to country, but we recognize the differences because of TV and movies and stuff like that. But unfortunately, they cannot understand us. It just sounds to them like, just a motion of language.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is I just came back from Morocco, and I was very grateful and very fortunate to record a complete section or a complete theme of the Darija language, how to say from English to Moroccan dialect, Darija. Hiba was involved, Sam was involved as well, and I cannot really thank him enough because this project, we worked on it a year and a half, honestly, for a year and a half, from start to finish. In between, there's a lot of breaks, obviously, but it took a lot of us to work on it, but it was so much fun. It was incredible. I'm so proud of you guys. I've seen some examples. I'm not sure if you want to share some or the video that we have with the audience on this session, Ted. We're going to start posting some of those sessions, as we discussed earlier, probably twice a week. Most of them will live on YouTube Shorts, then on TikTok, then Instagram. And to follow us in all those platforms, it's at Destination Morocco. So it's the same name in all these three platforms.
Let's see if this will work.
So how do we say hi or hello?
Okay, good.
Salam.
How do we say as a respond to hi or hello?
Alaykum salam.
Okay. Bye.
Salama.
Thank you.
Shukran.
You're welcome.
La shukra ala wajib or marhaba.
Excuse me or pardon me.
Smih liya.
Said it twice.
Good. Well, there you go. So that's your little video. So that's one sample, right, of what you guys are recording.
Yeah. Yes. So hopefully you'll enjoy it because we definitely loved putting it together, every second of it. So it's been really, really
fun.
And hope it will that's help nice. You during your travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it looks like fun. Yeah. Well, that's kind of it. So, you know, this here today has been lots of fun to talk, chat about languages. And we had a bit of a plan, but we were just kind of being spontaneous. And the whole point is with these little videos is they're roughly 60, 90 seconds long, right?
Yeah.
And so people can get those little snippets much easier, faster to consume and learn a few phrases at a time, which is handy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to the viewers.
Thank you very much.
We're very grateful for you for the opportunity. And if you need help planning your trip to Morocco, just keep us in mind.
That's right. Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Dad.
You. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Aziz. Thank you, Eva.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
You have traveled the world, but Morocco's allure beckons you. Destination Morocco is here to create the perfect once-in-a-lifetime Moroccan journey, tailored exclusively to your desires. Let us craft an itinerary that unlocks the secrets of this mesmerizing land just for you. For a luxurious, bespoke Moroccan adventure of a lifetime, visit destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And let us turn your dreams into reality. Your amazing Moroccan experience awaits.